The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B, and I have a special guest with me today. He is an old friend of mine, my twin, my social media twin. Social media twin, actor, performer, Johnny Sibley.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Johnny's known for our performances in The Deuce, that show The Deuce, which was a show about Hell's Kitchen. Well, it's like Times Square.
Yeah.
You were season one?
Season one, yeah.
Yeah. And then seasons one and two of Pose, one of my favorite shows that we're going to get into. And then you also have your own Logo IG Live, which is like a weekly show through Logo that I was actually on a couple weeks ago.
Yes, you were.
It was fun. That was fun. That was my first like live. I don't think I've ever done a live before.
Really?
I'm not a live.
You were so good at it.
I know. I'm not even gonna lie, because I said you were like, your straight's okay, and I was like, no
honestly. it was so good, especially when they like pieced it all together so we could see like the jump cuts of everything you said. It was like, oh, he's so good at this.
Yeah, I should do lives. I'm like, have from the beginning of quarantine, I just have this thing where like I started hating everybody that was, remember that first week of quarantine when you would like open your app and it was like every 5 seconds people were doing lives. Like, I don't need a tutorial on everything you're doing.
Right. Which is we're at home bored. I mean, I even like did a live for a week or 2 weeks as one of my characters, Julissa. And I remember just like, after 2 weeks, I'm like, this is not it anymore.
This is not it.
It's cute for the two weeks to just like have something to do at a certain time.
Do you have anybody in your like sphere that you follow that you actually enjoy their lives?
Z-Way.
Mm-hmm. She hasn't done. Yeah, she's waiting like season two.
She hasn't. You know, sometimes I go back and watch like old lives that I missed just to like get a good laugh in. Another friend of mine is, her name's Char Josel. She's actually really good. She does like a pop culture thing. I think it's Sunday. She like does Sundays with Char or whatnot. But those are really the only two that I like pop in on, unless like a RuPaul's Drag Race queen like goes on live, because I know usually it's a little messy. So
I don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race, you know that, but
no, I dip in and out.
I'm like well aware because I am like gay. I'm gay.
Right.
Like, but I don't.
You're like at the parties, like, so who is that one? And everyone's like,
no. But the thing is I know because I be on social media like that. So like I know the good ones. You know what I mean?
Right.
One of them was actually on your live last week, right? Wasn't it? And you brought out Julissa. Was it
Monique? Monique.
Yeah.
Bart,
yeah. I like her.
Yeah, she's fun.
I fuck with her. I like her.
Yeah.
She won, right?
She didn't win.
The gays are going to drag me. This uneducated bitch.
Yeah, they're like, how dare he not know? She won the hearts and minds of America.
Okay,
So, you know, sometimes that's better than a trophy. So.
Yeah, I'd say. I was going to say, first off, happy Black History Month.
That's right.
Happy
Black History Year. We need a whole year.
What does he sound like? Was that Bobby and Whitney Club?
Bobby and Whitney,
we need a whole year.
Yeah. When she does the smile, she's like,
high out of their minds. You know I love them.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm obsessed. I love that energy. We're going to talk about them. I was gonna say though about the IG lives. Someone I follow that I'm sure you follow too is Saucy Santana's lives with Carisha.
Oh my god,
those are iconic.
Really the best. I can't
even before
yes.
COVID, because they like I guess live in different cities for some. Like I don't even know, but they're constantly. Yeah. If you guys don't know, go to like Twitter and just look up Saucy Santana Carisha C A R E S H A. They're like an IG lives. They're like yeah. iconic. That's like me and Jonathan. You know Jonathan?
Yeah, yeah. It was so funny. I was like in like I was with a couple friends once, and I was like, you know, when I think things are funny, I'm like, everyone's gonna think this is funny. Mm-hmm. So I put it on YouTube because you know you can go on YouTube and look for their yeah. clips. And I was like, you guys are gonna love this. I put on like 5 minutes of Carisha and Santana, and they were like, I don't even understand what they're saying. I'm like, oh.
First off, something about that's not sitting right with me. I don't know how, but it's racist. I don't even understand what they're saying.
I know.
Find some different friends, Johnny. Wow. I could watch Carisha and Saucy go back and forth. Like their banter is literally, I could watch, like someone needs to write a show about them.
Yeah, just reading each other back and forth.
Yeah.
I love that. My favorite is the one where she's like, is that Willie? Or the other one.
He's like, Carisha, please.
Yeah. He's like, Carisha, you stop.
Is that the other one?
That's the kind of friend that you want that is just going to like get you in trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 It gives very much, you know, like sometimes when you're like dating a guy and you like code switch into like a little more like deeper voice and like without even, yeah, the tradey voice, without even realizing, and your friend would be like, why are you talking like that? And you're like, girl.
You don't ever talk like this, bitch. Oh my god. I love it.
So good.
But I've known you for a while. I knew you even before Pose.
Yeah.
But I don't think I like knew that you were filming it at the time. But they, you know, it's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah. Same.
And I usually like don't like I'll like get into Ryan Murphy shows, but then I'll teeter off, you know, like I just have like that. That's just how I am. Yeah. But yeah. Pose is kind of like all around like great work. But I think it's also like a testament to like all the people that he brought in too. Like it's right. like the right people at the table. And that's one of the best things about it. Like Janet Mock. There's a number of people. But how was it? How was your experience filming that and talking? Tell me about that.
I mean, it's funny. When I was in high school and I first watched Paris is Burning, I was like, why is there no show about this? Like mm-hmm. this is what I want to watch. Like why doesn't yeah. everyone want to watch this? And I remember years later, one of my best friends, Trace Lissette, she's like from the ballroom
yeah,
scene.
So when she's we, also like, in it.
Yeah. When we moved in together, we would like stay up all night watching old ballroom clips and she'd like give me all the stories and things. And I was just like a little kid, like enamored. So I remember when they first announced it on like Deadline or something like that, I like text my agent immediately. I was like, I don't care how or what, I'll be in the background. I just want to be a part of the show because I know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then the more people that he started adding, that Ryan started adding as consultants and, you know, Janet and stuff, I knew that like there was going to be like the element of people of color really coming to the table and really being able to tell our stories, especially mm-hmm. queer people of color. So,
yeah.
They did. They sent me out. I went in and I auditioned 3 times. I think I auditioned for like a one-off and they were like, oh no, we want to bring you in for something more serious. And I was like, oh, okay, okay.
okay.
So I came in and I auditioned for Cubby and Lamar. You yeah. know those two characters?
Uh-huh.
Who are so great. I hope that they get more more screen time in season 3 because they're just so funny.
I feel like it's inevitable, right? Because the way that, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
But what Ryan Murphy, I remember he said about the show is that I think he said something like the show can only be a certain number of years. It's like, yeah. I think he said, what is it, 5 or it's something really short.
Right.
Because it's only supposed to cover a certain span of time, like only the late 90s, maybe.
Right. I think he said once they discover like a drug that helps with HIV, that's when they start.
Yeah.
They like end the show because it starts at the beginning of the epidemic.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I auditioned for that role,
mm-hmm.
didn't get that. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then it's I moved off. To LA. I was like, it's fine. So then they sent me another role that they're like, I don't know if this is going to be good for you because, you know, he's dying and you look very healthy. And I was like,
Makeup.
Okay, that's coded, but
you look very healthy.
She's fed. Yes. So I did. I booked it, and I just remember going to set the first day, and the director was said the same thing. He's like, "Wow, you look like the Vision of Health." I was like, "Okay." The girls are really okay.
Yeah.
And I just remember being so excited though, because like Billy Porter was, I was playing his love interest, and like even hearing that, I was like, "Oh my god, that is amazing!" Because I knew Billy from like performing in the theater, and also from his work and like the First Wives Club soundtrack, and like Billy's been around, you know.
Yeah
So it was like very 90s. exciting. And then like filming it, you know, they put me on a diet so that I could look which listen, I'm just gonna say I manifested that as a kid, because I remember in Hollywood that was like the thing, like I lost blah 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 to play this role and look at my Oscar and da, da, da. I was like, oh, I want to get paid to lose weight. And I did. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think it also really helped like tell the story better to see like a deterioration.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad, but it's just part of the work. So, it was just so fun to like go on set and see trans people working in all capacities, whether it be producing, a PA, makeup and hair, seeing, you know, queer people just all over the set. Because as someone who has like worked on, like you said, The Deuce, that was a very, very cisgender, heterosexual energy. And it was just, it felt like I was at home with family. Okay. And so just, I mean, I was never any of the ball scenes or anything, but I was so excited to just be like in that space.
Yeah. That's great that like he brings everyone to the table and gives so many people opportunities through that. It's kind of like almost like he just kind of puts his name on the, and like really everybody else is like doing the most of the writing, and like, you know, Janet's doing her own episodes. I think it's Our Lady J. Is that the other? Favorite. Do you have like a, cause you were on in season one, you had like a smaller role, and then you had a lot more like speaking and a lot, like an episode pretty much devoted to just you and Billy. In the later part of season two, did you know that was going to happen? Like season one, did you know that you were going to have more of developed?
It's so funny because they didn't like share the script with us, because they were writing they were going. So like I was telling my agent, I'm like, what's gonna happen? Like, you know, I knew how many episodes I would be in, but I didn't know what it was giving. So, and it's funny because the first episode that I was in, I had a lot more dialogue. And this is just my thought. I thought that they were gonna like maybe write me off a little earlier. But I think because they saw we had like a good chemistry and like we had, you know, that they might want to write more for us. So, I mean, that's just my theory. I don't know that for sure, but they were writing as they went.
Do you have a favorite character on the show?
I have two favorite characters, Blanca and, Electra. Like they feel like two parts of my personality that like, that I feel so comfortable with. Like, and I love MJ so much. MJ and I were off Broadway together before Pose, like the year before Pose was out.
She's so talented.
She's so talented. And like, even in the off Broadway play, like she had a smaller role, but they wrote more for her because they knew that she could do more. And I'm just so happy that she has a place where she can do that. And then Electra just feels like all gay men in like, well, not all gay men, all, you know, black and brown gay men. Just like, and she reminds me of like women that I grew up with and like the shit that they used to say to each other. Like trans women remind me of the women that I grew up with, because there was always more
in Miami, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And just being around Hispanic women and black women, like you feel like there's just a lot more sass and a lot more heart, and just everything's like elevated
up 10.
When I see trans women, I know that a lot of stuff that black and brown cis women get, like, you know, like when the housewives started saying don't come for me unless I sent for you, you know,
they got all that from
shade. They get that from their black and brown you know, hairdressers who get it from the girls, you know what I mean? I've always like felt so close to women like that.
Do you have a favorite episode?
I love the I love the pilot for so many reasons, especially because like it was the first time you see like all of the like four or five actually more than that main characters that were all Black and Brown Latinx like come together. That were queer. You know, obviously there's been Black and Brown shows before, but like this was exclusively queer. You know, other than Noah's Ark and whatnot, but. My favorite episode would probably be the candy episode.
That's what I was going to say is mine. Yeah. Ended me. I've never cried that much.
I just got goosebumps.
She's here. I'm going to turn around. She's right behind me, just like in the episodes.
She's like, I honestly, when I was watching, it reminded me of like the first time I ever saw a drag queen perform, like a trans drag queen perform in a club. Just like the beauty, like, and the performance when she had the red dress on and like
at the very end, the Stephanie Miller song.
Yeah. It was so, so good.
So good. Yeah. That song still kind of gives me, the chills, but like we were put it on a fucking mix and like in the summertime and we're like, but it's a sad song, right?
Yeah.
Not really, but it's it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I want to talk about Logos Live. That was really fun to be on. Like I said, I've not really done IG Live before. So tell me about guests that you've had on that you really like, have been really pumped about having on.
Honestly,
quite a few. I mean, you do like two per episode, right? Two
per episode, yeah. I mean, a lot of them. I mean, anytime I get to talk to one of the Drag Race queens, I feel like a little kid. Like, you know, for me, Drag Race, I mean, Housewives is kind of like that, but like for you, Housewives is like, the thing. So sometimes when you get to like interview the Housewives, it's like, oh, this is exciting because these are the bitches like that I watch every week and I feel like I know them in a different capacity.
See, but it's weird. Like I don't like I like the women that I've had on are typically women that I'm friends with. So it's like I feel like I'm talking to a friend. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've known all of the ones that have been on here before. So
yeah.
I don't know that I would like want to talk to.
Is there any of them that you would have like, that you'd be like a little like starstruck to have on?
Karen Huger. Like, see, I'm not like, I don't get like, yeah, some of the shows are good and they're funny, but like the ones that I really fucking stan are like Leah Black from Miami. Like I like a housewife of like a certain age who's like kind of auntie vibes a bit. Like that's the sweet spot. And like Karen Huger seems like just like a good person too. And like funny as fuck and doesn't take herself too seriously. And it's like perfect, but like none of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills really like, they don't really like amaze me that much. I mean, yeah, it can be like a funny show at times, but it's just like, I don't care about the celebrity of it. If anything, I like when a housewife is like a newer housewife and their glam is maybe not quite there. And I like that's right. Like, cause it reminds me of like, oh, I could like know this woman would be friends with like my aunt or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure. That's kind of like why I'm drawn to some of those shows, but like why I like shows like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I think I like the least. Cause I don't really care about like rich people porn. I want to hear about like, you know what I mean? I want to see like broke people trying to pretend that they're rich. And I'm like, that's so much fun. She by Sheree season one, like very much that, like very tragic.
Love spring it. Summer. She said spring summer. That's, but also I think I was really excited to speak to the congressmen and women that were like, not congressmen and women, but the politicians that came on the show. I thought that was super cool because not only were they queer politicians, but the fact that like for some reason
you had the recently the first Black openly gay congressman two right
one's Afro Latino and one is Black and. We had both of them on the show, and that just felt so cool too. Not only because they were people of color, but because there's two, and they know each other and they're friends.
Yeah,
and it was just, and they're both very handsome. I was like, okay, wait, am I gonna have to be a first lady? Like, what's up?
Camera's fogging up.
But that was exciting in a way too, because a lot of, you know, queer media, we're always talking about like we kiki and we do stuff like that, but we rarely get to talk to politicians that it doesn't feel like you're just getting like line reads and like, well, you know, I feel like those people, you know, especially like Sarah McBride, Richie Torres,
Sarah McBride, like, the first trans, openly trans
senator.
What state is she again?
Rhode Island.
Right. That's right.
No, I think it is Rhode Island. Okay, I hope I'm giving
myself a trouble. No. Let me look.
Oh, girl, let me.
It's all right. And we can also.
Is it Connecticut? No. Virginia? No.
I'm just making sure you would name every damn state. I'm just making sure. Delaware.
There we go. Delaware's always forgotten, but she's still kicking. No, but just talking to people that feel like they would know about what the community is actually going through, rather than like some people that are, you know, you're like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you in the girl's business or,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, but that was a cool thing. And also just having like friends, like having you on was just nice because it takes the pressure off of like, I hope I don't say the wrong thing. Or like, it's just you, you feel like you're having a conversation with a friend, and that always feels much better than like, you know, like talking to Peppermint and Mila Jam. Like that felt like I was talking to family too. So
has there ever been anyone that's like so stiff? You don't have to say their name. It seems like it's been pretty.
No, I don't think anyone was stiff. I think sometimes, you know, the live aspect throws people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it throws me. So, you know, like, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like, oh, what we're talking about this. And, oh, we want to like read the comments, like all of the things that other people might feel. I feel the same way. But no, I feel like everyone like the
who they sometimes get caught up reading the comments.
Yeah.
I just want to see if they're dragging me in the comments.
Are the best part, I feel sometimes.
I actually was going to say earlier, you mentioned Z-Way. I know Z-Way, and she asked me to be on that. When she started the live, it was like the earlier days of it. She asked me, but then I was like, I was like, I can't do it. No, they're going to drag me. I was like, also, am I like canceled? Like, I had to like look back. I was like, wait a minute. Am I canceled?
Like, did I not know? I was just on.
And I'm like, well, fuck.
Yeah. She's great. And I think she does it in such a way that like, yes, it like people could, people are self-dragging because it's not like she's not, it's not like she's saying anything. They're the ones that are,
they're the one doing the great, all the tricks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, and I do like when she interviews people that are like self-aware that they're like, they're not with it, you know, rather than the ones that are like, well, you know, I've actually read 20 books, you know.
I know. They have the stack right next to them because they read it right before the live. <These are mine. laughs>
They came prepared.
Are you watching Fran Lebowitz Pretend It's a City? Are you watching this?
Yes.
I think I'm like on episode 4 or something. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. I'm back on Netflix. Like I pay for it like monthly, but I don't really be every once in a while, like I'll find something really good. Like Bling Empire I was really into, but before that it's like 2 months before I watched anything on there. I don't really fuck with Netflix
it's
like that.
True. I've been on like an HBO Max kick lately. Mm-hmm. But every now and then I dip back into Netflix and I'm like, oh, they've got something new because that's all I used to watch before. But now we've got the Hulu,
I got 20 different streaming things and I'm going to watch the same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
Cause I was, we'll get to that. But I was going to ask you really quick LGBT cinema, because we were right up when we get off of Paris is Burning. Because I was talking about this with a friend the other day and like favorite LGBTQ films, especially ones that like coming of age, like ones that like were the first ones that you remember. Do you have one or like what's your gay film?
Now I feel like my go-to gay film is Moonlight, because like it felt like I remember the scene where he was like walking into his school. Like it took place, I think, in South Florida, which I was like, oh, that's where I grew up. And like the kids reminded me of the kids that I grew up with. And, you know, I saw it later on as an adult, but it took me all the way back. And, you know, when I was growing up, like the only thing I could really like relate to was Brokeback Mountain. Like, unfortunately, that or like But I'm a Cheerleader was another one.
We had like gay friendly films that we were like, I guess that one is. Yeah, it's lesbian. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So. With Natasha Lyonne, and there was another one. I can't remember the name of it, but I felt queer representation sometimes in movies that had no queer people in them, like Clueless or
because you had to because there wasn't anything else.
Right. Yeah. Like I saw my mom or like myself in like these characters.
I was like a fucking 10-year-old seeing myself and like Waiting to Exhale. I was like, I like really vibe with this. You know what I mean? It's like fucking middle-aged black woman. I'm like, I really see myself.
No, the one that I saw myself.
We were really aging ourselves.
Was Vanessa Williams in Soul Food when she comes out with a knife.
With the knife?
I don't know why. Classic. I'd never like been in a relationship, but I was like, that's me.
That's me when I go crazy. I'm a snap. Right. That's me. I know that.
That was like the scene, like for me.
Yeah. Because Ryan Murphy obviously does like a lot of LGBTQ cinema, or I guess what the Boys in the Band is the most recent one that came out on Netflix. Yeah. I was just thinking like so right before also earlier I was watching, it's like a 15 minute. So, you know, Sylvester, the disco.
Yeah.
He's a short, like a short film. I guess like Amazon made like it's like 15 minutes. I thought it was
Yes.
I thought it was supposed to be like an actual documentary, but I guess it's like a short. He would deserve a full one, I think.
A full fucking biopic. Like, what's going on? I don't understand
how so insane. If you guys haven't heard of it, it's called Love Me Like You Should. A lot of people haven't heard of it. A lot of people haven't heard of Sylvester. So maybe that's why he's not getting a full on. But I mean, he would if they made a full documentary on him.
Especially with one of the most iconic queer songs ever. Yeah. And not even just queer. It's like a smash no matter who you are. But You Make Me Feel is like we have biopics about people who with much less of a reach. So,
and they still sample his songs. Little Kim has sampled him.
Yeah. So I mean, I think I saw a tweet from Bob the Drag Queen the other day. It was like, who's writing the Sylvester movie and so I can when start. Am I gonna play? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's first thought.
I know Billy, there was talks of Billy playing Sylvester as well. Like
yeah.
I know they had a friend of mine, Justin Sams, played Sylvester in a mini series that they had a couple years ago called I forgot what it was called, but it had like a bunch of queer actors in it about San Francisco back in the AIDS epidemic.
Let me know if you ever come up, if you remember it. I want to see it. We have so many like, you know, queer icons, gay icons from that time era, that like era as well, that have like, you know, full-on biopics, like Capote, Liberace, Elton John, Freddie Mercury, they all have them. But like, you know, are there
all
any
played by straight men? All played by straight motherfucking men.
Yes.
No shame.
Who played Liberace? Oh, it was Michael Douglas, right?
Yes, Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
He was good. Like, don't get me wrong, they were all really good.
But they're not gay.
But it's like,
but can you suck dick like this?
You know what's funny about that is that I played in The Deuce. I had sex with a girl in the show. Uh-huh. And I remember James Franco was directing and he came out and he's like, okay, so the way you're doing it, it's a little metronomy. I'm like, oh, so you want me to put like a little swerve in it? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, it's weird because I know how to have sex, but like doing this with a girl feels so weird. So I did it. So where's my Oscar? Like,
you got your check.
The check went through. So
is there anybody that you feel like you would love to see a biopic of?
I would love to see a Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera. Like, I want to see some trans girls get represented. You know, not that the gay men don't deserve, but I'd love to see a Bayard Rustin or not documentary, because he has a documentary, but like a biopic about him. Yeah. There's just so many, but I feel like Marsha and Sylvia definitely deserve like a biopic. I know that there was one that was like in the makes a couple years back, but I don't know where that is right now. It's called Happy Birthday, Marsha. But you know, Hollywood is a weird, and like you need money at the end of the day.
It's so crazy that we're in like an information age and there's all these shows and all of this stuff, but still so many young gay people don't even know who Sylvia is, don't know who Marsha is. It's crazy. Or they've heard of Marsha but don't know like how the extent of how she was involved, you know what I mean? And how
I mean, it for me, like in my teens and my 20s, I wasn't trying to learn about nobody. Well, I also didn't think it was an option, You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
I do feel like nowadays it's a little bit like it's out there if you want it, you know? So, and I also think that people wait for like a biopic or a show to learn things because it, you know, reading an article or like looking at YouTube clips can only do so much for people. But yeah, I'm glad that Netflix and HBO Max and like that show Veneno, I don't know if you saw that, but that was a miniseries. So good. A miniseries about the first like trans icon from Spain. And like they did it so well. It was, it, it made me feel exactly what we were just talking about. Like, this is how you do a biopic about us, about our people. So, and a lot of people, like a lot of Americans didn't know who she was because she was a Spanish trans icon. But it, now we do know, and now we, you know, see that little history. So,
speaking of shows, Golden Globe nominations came out today.
They sure did.
I didn't see, I have not seen half of the shows. I spent the entire year inside. I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I was watching Wendy at Home. I was rewatching. I rewatched like Flavor of Love, bitch. I rewatched Rock of Love. I was watching everything except the shows apparently that everybody else was watching.
Speaking of snubs, those shows really deserve more than we've given them. Truly. Yeah.
Well, they did the I Love New York reunion and it was garbage. Did you see that? They could have kept that. They were clearly trying to fill a programming block and they were just like, here, the Golden Globes are here.
Quite nonsense.
Yeah. Last year, Billy was nominated for actor in a drama TV series. The show was nominated for best drama TV series in 2019 and he was also nominated back. So he hasn't won yet.
Yeah.
But this time they just said, fuck it, which I think is ridiculous because, well, wait, did they miss... Were they capturing this past season? Yeah, this past season would have been captured in that.
Correct. Yeah. So they did. They, if he wasn't nominated, that means that they didn't nominate him for season two. They nominated him for season one, and he didn't win. He lost to what's his name, Richard Madden, who's actually really, really talented. But yeah, this year they said, forget it. You know, which is a gag, but
yeah, that's how they.
Hayley and it's Cuoco. Also like people forget like she you know what's funny you know what's funny nominated. I saw I didn't finish The Flight Attendant but I liked her in it and I thought I
yeah she wasn't I terrible
when I was when I started watching I'm like why don't I like this girl I don't why don't I like her like for some reason messy. I thought like oh I don't like her but like from before I'm like well I've not seen her in it and something else.
The character or the person, just like the actress?
Person. Yeah. Okay. Because you know, sometimes like there's celebrities that you're like,
Katherine Heigl is one of those people. You don't know why you don't like her. You just know that you're not supposed to. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm trying to, like Demi Lovato. Like, I just don't.
Not Demi.
Oh, do they not like her? I don't like her. I don't like a lot of but I also like a lot of shit. I like a lot of shit, though. I just, I know what I don't like.
It's good to know what you don't like. Yeah, absolutely. I wish more people did.
Yeah.
But I liked the show. I liked her in the show. The show, I think for me, it was like a little too like drunk girl. I was like, okay, girl.
Yeah, it got really tired. I don't. It felt really hectic. I don't need that energy in my life. There's a lot going on. She's drinking. She like I'm constantly like, is she still hungover? This is crazy. I don't like that feeling. You know. The show is in and of itself. Gay erasure. So. Let's talk about that. Like, you can have a show about flight attendants and she's the main person is not a gay. Come on. You know how interesting that show would have been?
That would have been so
messy
good.
Gay. Having sex just in like cubicle sized bathrooms up in the air.
Austin Wolf could have done a cameo. Like, come on. they really
No, that flight attendant who got fired for.
Oh, we saw the video. I mean,
did you see the video? There was a video?
There was a video,
Oh, I guess there would have been. That's how he got found. Yeah,
it was leaked. Yeah. So no, I mean,
it's not the only thing.
I just want to know how that went through his head. Like when you're on the clock. Well, let me not act like I haven't hooked up with someone on the clock before. So.
I've never hooked up with anyone.
Oh my god, I was legend for that in my like 20s because I used to work in hospitality, and I don't think I've like said this publicly, but like I used to hook up with like guests at the hotel. I used to work at a spa. I would get a number and go to wherever they were at.
Okay. You
know, wait, what hotel? Off property. I used to work at the Hudson in New York.
We're going to get some phone calls from them. Take this shit off that fucking podcast. Talk about
Listen, I used to work at the Hudson, and there were times where guests would be like, I want my room upgraded. So I would show them an upgraded room, and you know, sometimes boom, 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 things would get out of hand. It would get very flight attendant. So
let's love that. God it bless. Is what it is. This would be four times. Hotels were open.
Right.
The Wendy Williams film. Did you watch that?
I did not.
It's okay.
I did not. Because on YouTube TV, apparently they don't have Lifetime, which is
Yeah, I think chaotic. You'd have to buy it or rent it. Yeah.
Which I will, but I did see some of the clips that I loved.
Yeah, there's some moments. She's smoking crack in the first 10 minutes, so I already knew it was popping. We
got to get them. You got to hook them within the first 10 minutes.
We had pizza and wine and Slim Jims, and we were watching, and we saw the crack pipe burst out. We were like, oh, this is good. We're going for a ride. Yeah.
Just the visual of Wendy, like, lighting up a Slim Jim.
Yeah, love it. So love it. God, love her. You know, I'd give that movie, like, a 7.45, you know what I mean? It's good. It's like it's a Lifetime film. It's not like an actual, you know what I mean? But it's good for what it was, and it was messy and fun, and it's windy. Whoever's doing that, like, whoever's behind the scenes over there at Lifetime is really like, it's a really smart gay. I don't know who it is, but you know, with the Britney one and the Anna Nicole and the TLC and Whitney, they know, and the Salt and Pepper, they like, they have someone who's just like knocking them out, you know?
Yeah. Well, because they also know that, like, the gays are, if the gays watch something, it's going to be a hit, or it's going to be, you know,
it's going to be a viral. It's going to be all over Twitter, and gay Twitter is going to, you know, and we're going to turn it into a meme. Or if you get that, like, perfect Venn diagram of, like, black women and gays, then it's like,
And black women, like, are Wendy Williams. Like, come on.
Yeah, come
on. You know what I mean? A Whitney Houston. Hello.
Hello.
So,
like, the
Britney
perfect
episode was, or the Britney movie was so bad, but it was so like funny at the same time. She's like, oh, that's what they chose to do with that scene that happened. Okay. Like, they had a dance off between Britney and Justin.
Oh, I think. That legendary dance off that happened at, after the breakup. Oh my God.
Just like, what?
I have to go back and rewatch that one. Do you have a favorite Wendy Williams moment? I was asking people the other day, and the amount, did you see that? The amount of responses, I couldn't even get through them all. I would have been there all day. There was like, I already posted like 30, so many, but, and there were so many more to go. It's crazy.
I do.
And you know what she said? What was that?
That was,
what was that?
That's my favorite. Because she, like, well, first of all, the mask is like pure comedy in and of itself. Yeah. But she just like, the fact that she'll stop the show to be like, what was that? Like,
and drag someone in her audience. Did you see the one clip of the woman who was like making the face? She goes, did you see the picture? Did you see that lady? She says that lady, like it's not from directly from her audience. Like it's someone on the street. She's so ridiculous. I love it.
And then I also like the recent one where she hits on the gay man.
Oh, yeah. That's a perfect like women's version of the trade voice where she like switched up real quick.
She did. She was, and like, it was so like obvious, the switch, like, and just the, the, like when she goes, oh damn, like it was just so genuine that you could tell like, oh, she's really is disappointed.
She needs a VH1 dating show.
Oh my God, that would be so good.
Could you imagine
that, or did you hear like her talking about being on Real Housewives of Miami?
Yeah, she's pushing that. She's pushing for it. She really wants to be. And I'm like, listen, give her anything she fucking wants. I don't fucking care. She would be like the most iconic friend of, sorry, Marlo.
Yeah. Oh, give her a peach. Poor girl.
She don't want one, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I don't think she wants a job. Like, I think she just like, she, you know what I mean? Like, I think Marlo likes to get her little checks, and she knows that they pay her well, I'm sure, because they know her value. Like, when nobody else wants to say anything funny or do anything interesting, Marlo's there. But like, Marlo's just like, just send me on a trip, whatever, just pay for my ticket. And she shows up.
She's like, I'm not trying to do a shooting schedule. I'll let you know when dates work for me.
I'll let you know when I'll be there. What's up? Shit,
yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like.
Yeah. Switching gears. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about, I was talking about this with a guest last week. Who was here? It was, who was here last week? Brian Derrick. Do you know Brian Derrick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I follow him on the Insta.
Love him. We were brushing over Gays Over COVID.
Mm.
Gays Over COVID, the Instagram yep. account that calls out the gays that were partying in Puerto Vallarta, or partying anywhere, partying all over the world.
Yeah. All over.
All over. London to Ibiza.
Right.
Oh my God. I was talking specifically because they put like a story up last week and they were asking if anyone would be interested in following Gays Over influencers. Did we talk about this? You and I? No, we didn't, but
just like I saw you talk about it on Twitter and I like liked it and stuff, but yeah, I definitely had, I was like, what are the
brain worms?
I was just like, okay, I understand the need to like hold people accountable during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I get that. Do I think a little time they go a little overboard? Absolutely. But yeah,
absolutely.
I don't believe in calling people out without a face. To me, that's bitch behavior. Like where I come from,
snitch.
If you have something to say, you say it with your whole chest and with your whole face. You feel me?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not this like message board. Like this is, first of all, it's not Harriet the Spy. This isn't Gossip Girl. Like,
don't get on them Reddit people. I don't want them Reddit bitches in my comments. Them Redditors.
Oh my God.
Once you get on, they're worse than the Beehive. I don't want, saw what they did to Wall Street. They'll fuck up my finances. Ooh, I don't know. Y'all wake up tomorrow, have $0 in my fucking account.
I mean, I've been there before, so you're right. No, but yeah, I saw the Gays Over influencers, and I just thought, like, what was the reason? Like,
what was the reason? Yeah, seriously, it was.
I just don't get it. Like, listen, here's the thing.
Part of me wants to see them do it just for the mess, but I won't
just
follow.
Just see who they pick. But also, like, this idea that, like, gays,
right. I was chosen for Gays Over COVID.
But that's the gag also, is that a lot of these influencers that they would pick are like, well, baby, you're talking about me. So it's like, giving them more clicks than you want to give them, you know? So I just don't understand it. And they act like we haven't been having this conversation for years already.
This is ongoing conversation. It's just like exacerbated right now because we're in the pandemic and we're trying to figure out
how to. White people are now, white gay people are now coming to the, realization that a lot of white gay influencers are not it. Like, we've been knew that, which is why a lot of us don't follow them. But now people come around, they're like, I'm going to create a campaign to bring them down. It's like, bitch, no, you're not. Like, because if we couldn't do it, you won't be able to do it. And
When the conversation was swirling around that whole meth gala drama at the beginning of the whole New Times, almost a year ago, people would be like, oh, like, this is another person, da da da. Like, they would just like send me some account of some white gay, and I was like, I don't know who the fuck this is. Stop sending me white gay. I don't care. Like,
well, that's also the thing too. It's like these people put themselves in like a bubble, and they're like, do you know this person? I'm like, I don't even know who that is. Yeah. Like, just because you do doesn't mean the world does, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and
like,
I follow Basketball Wives, Johnny Sibley, Jonathan Lawhorn, and, you know, a few other people. And, like, you know, my friends.
I mean, I have a lot of friends that are white gay influencers. And, you know, we have a lot of conversations behind the scenes about, like, what they should be doing, what they should be speaking about, this, that, and the other. But this idea, like,
as a brown person, I've turned into a sounding board for a lot of my white gay friends. They're like, should I say it this way? I'm like, well.
Yeah, I mean, and I will say, some people are like, don't ask me, ask Google. But I am the type of friend that I'm like, please ask me, because I don't want you. Because when you look like a fool,
they're going to come to me.
Look like a fool.
They're going to come to you and be like, ain't you friends? Come get your girl. That's my favorite. Come get your girl.
When the Gays Over COVID thing, one of my friends was traveling and they were like, come get your friend. I'm like, Miss Thing, first of all, don't approach me like that.
That's what I say. I'm like, why aren't you talking about this on your feed? Bitch, I'll do whatever the fuck I want to do on my feed. I'm actually taking an off day. I'm hungover. Leave me alone. I'm not getting into this mess.
Time. Like, these people on the internet really think that they can, like, oh, I should do what, Miss Thing? I don't know you like that. And I don't know why you thought you knew me like that.
Thank you. Approach me differently.
And then I'm like, also, these people are adults. I'm nobody's mom. You know, I've already said my piece with friends that are, you know, doing the most sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you let go and let God. So
I'm in the house. What it is. So I don't know about what the fuck y'all doing. You know what I'm saying? And like, I don't. And also, I'm not like a jukebox. You don't just like put a coin in me and tell me what I need to talk about. Some days I don't want to talk about shit. Some days I only want to post a Wendy clip. You know what I mean? Right. So
my favorite is when they tell brown and black folks, this is actually not something you want to joke about. It's like, first of all, bitch, let me click on your profile and see who's talking to me like that. Oh, okay. So
I'm like squinting. What's the meme of the black girl in the driveway with sunglasses squinting?
When he who shall not be named.
Yep. I was gonna name him, but yeah, we don't have to.
White passing. I said, okay, the only people that are allowed to call me white passing are people that are
black
darker
people.
Than me.
Yeah. Like, don't you feel play me? Games.
I will never answer to a white man that tells me I'm white passing. White passing. Like, do you know what I mean?
Wow.
That's the
I'm getting a little too comfortable in this like new world.
You've read a little too many.
Y'all read a couple of James Baldwin books, and now y'all think that y'all are like.
Not books, quotes. Okay. They don't even read the whole book. They Google quote, Maya Angelou quotes, Martin Luther King quotes, Malcolm. Not, they don't even get into Malcolm X because they can't take, but.
Just to for everybody who is not aware, I won't name names, but there was a certain influencer who was calling out brown people for not doing enough to dismantle racism in the gay community or at large. And I thought it was pretty, he didn't talk to me because he already knows how I get.
Right. I mean, I did see some exchanges earlier with you. Yeah, I did see that.
Earlier in the year, right?
Yes, I did.
You try it again, right?
Well, that's the thing.
I got like, Jonathan, because Jonathan came through. Everyone that listens to the podcast knows who Jonathan is. Jonathan swooped in real quick and said, "Who we gotta get? Who we gotta get?"
That's the thing. Like, and this is what bothered me the most is that, like, first of all, don't mention me. You can mention the white people all you want. That is that's your prerogative. I don't agree with it, but at the end of the day, when you press my buzzer, I'll tell you like it is. I will do you like these white girls won't, as Nene would say to Star Jones. I just don't have the time. And especially with someone that I've known has been a grifter for so long. And now you're gonna hop on the race train just because you found out about racism 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna tell me we need to have we should be having a conversation about racism. I'm like, Who's we?
I'm living it. What are you talking about? Like,
and that's the thing that gags me is it's like the assertion that you think I should be talking more, especially because he messaged me in June and said, he said, you've been posting is so eloquent. I was like, first of all, eloquent is microaggression, but you know, and then he called,
you speak so well.
He called me dramatic. He said, I'm not here for your reality housewife drama. I was like, okay, all of this coded language. Okay. And a porn star who actually has a name, his name's Julian, his name's Brock Banks, okay?
Yeah.
Said to his followers that we're threatening him with violence. Now, listen, I didn't threaten him with violence. I worded it in a way that Twitter would allow me to word it without getting kicked off. So I said, if you want it, you know where it is. I didn't know. I didn't say I was gonna put hands
do
on
anything.
Him.
Listen,
you know, I'm here to have outside a
again because some people are on the internet too much that we're never supposed to be. I say this every fucking episode. Yeah. A lot of y'all never been beat up in middle school because it shows.
Oh my god! Thank you. Because
I would never if I had to disagree with someone online, I'm not gonna like DM them and show up in their or like tap like it's just not. Unless you're doing some racist shit, like taking photos at a wedding at a plantation and making jokes about cotton, then I'm going to say something. But like, it's just, I'm not. Yeah. People need to.
But that's the thing.
Have like a new 10 commandments for the internet or something. If we're going to have to stay inside this much longer.
That's the thing. Like I said, I always say where I come from, we don't tweet each other. We beat each other. So like we don't need to have a back and
305,
forth.
305. Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like I know what we can do real time, you know, but it's true. A lot of these people talk to you like they've never gotten their ass whooped before. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not saying I want to whoop anybody's ass because I'm a grown man and I have, you know, finances and I have, you know, things that I'm working on that I don't want to be messed up.
But it's just like,
I'll always be ready. Always. It doesn't matter how much money I have or what we're doing in the world. We can always make it happen, you know?
It was just so much. There's just, everyone's like losing it, you know, but just try to, everyone just try to put like good things out in the universe and add some humor and just question, like every time you post something, what value you're bringing to people's lives. If you can teach people or even just make them laugh, but if it's just to like spiral and be maybe question, also, you know,
I like a lot of things and, but I, that doesn't make me like the expert on them. Yeah. I say we're to always learning. Right. Yeah. We're all learning, but just because I learn how to ride a bike tomorrow doesn't mean I'm going to try and be on the Tour de France next week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. So, and lived experience is something that's quite different than, you know, so.
Right.
Listen, I want to talk to you a lot more about a bunch of different topics from Kirstie Teigen to Lil Uzi Vert. I want to talk about Real Housewives of Miami. Did you hear about this?
Ooh, I did.
Okay. I want to talk to you about 305. Do you want to tell the people where to follow you and also tell them more about Logo Live? I know that you're kind of in a hiatus right now between now and season two. So tell them about the projects coming up.
You can follow me on all the social platforms at my name, Johnny Sibley. Mm-hmm. Logo Live will be back for season two. Not sure the dates when, but you can go to Logo TV's Instagram to see all the old episodes. Brandon's on also one of the episodes. So that's one to check out as well. And we'll be back.
DM him. Keep it cute when you do.
Keep it cute or put it on mute.
Guys, to listen to the bonus episode, as usual, you know, you can go to patreon.com/theBList and subscribe there. We're going to talk more. And you can also listen to previous bonus episodes there. And we'll see you soon. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.